Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're diving into a topic that I know can be a little bit, controversial, sometimes even a bit heated. We're going to be talking about abortion.
Yeah, it's a big one for sure.
But specifically, we're looking at it through the lens of Catholic teaching. And to do that, we're going to be pulling from a whole range of sources, like official church documents, you know, writings from popes and whatnot.
Right.
We've also got philosophical stuff, some articles, even FAQs, trying to get a well-rounded picture, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important to see how the church has sort of built up their approach to this over time. It's not just like a simple yes or no. There's a lot of depth to it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that all of our sources point to is that the Catholic Church believes that human life begins at conception. And this isn't some new idea, right? It's pretty fundamental.
Oh, absolutely. This is a core teaching that's been consistent throughout the church's history. Like, they consider this an unchanging truth.
Okay, so that's a pretty strong statement. So, you know, if life begins at conception, then abortion is ending a human life. And I think our sources say that if someone gets an abortion, they're automatically excommunicated.
Yeah, that's right. The church uses a specific term for this, late sententiae. It basically means that the excommunication happens, like, automatically just by the act itself. There's no formal process or anything.
Wow, that's pretty serious. But, I mean, I'm sure some people might be thinking, isn't that just, like, a religious rule? Why should I care if I'm not Catholic?
Yeah, I can see how someone might think that. But the church would say that this isn't just about religious rules. They see it as grounded in natural law.
Ah, okay, natural law. That's a big concept. Can you remind me, like, in a nutshell, what that means?
Sure. Natural law, in the church's view, is kind of like this built-in moral code that's part of human nature itself. They say it's something we can understand through reason, not just faith. And that includes the idea that every human life has inherent dignity.
Okay, so they're saying it's not just about what Catholics believe. It's about something that should apply to everyone.
That's their argument. They'd say it's like, you know, we have laws against murder and theft, not just because they're in the Bible, but because they go against this basic sense of what's right, you know, that we shouldn't harm each other.
Right, right. But of course, one of the most common arguments for abortion rights is my body, my choice.
Definitely.
So how does the church address that?
Well, the church would acknowledge a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. But they would say that this right doesn't extend to ending the life of another human being, especially one they view as separate and distinct from conception onward.
So basically, they'd say your body is yours, but the baby is a separate person.
Exactly.
Now, this is where things can get, I don't know, even more complicated. Like, what about those cases where the mother's life is at risk, or maybe the baby's health is in serious danger? Our sources talk about any exceptions.
Well, the church's position on abortion, like I said, it's pretty consistent. They would oppose abortion even in those tough situations. They'd advocate for doing everything possible to save both lives.
So they'd say, like, just because a prenatal diagnosis shows some complications, that shouldn't automatically mean ending the pregnancy.
Right.
Okay, that's a lot to unpack. But, you know, one thing that strikes me is it seems like there's a lot more going on here than just following rules. There's a deeper philosophy at work, a whole worldview about the nature of life, about protecting those who are vulnerable?
Yeah, definitely. It's not about blind obedience. It's about trying to apply these principles in a way that's, I guess you could say, morally coherent.
Right, okay. But then what about the, like, the real life emotional side of things? What about the women who have had abortions? Our sources mentioned something called a pastoral approach. Do you know what that means in this context?
Yeah, so while the church holds a strong stance against abortion, they also, they emphasize mercy and forgiveness. They understand that these decisions are often made under incredibly difficult circumstances.
So are they saying, you did something wrong, but we still care about you?
That's pretty much the idea. It's about acknowledging, you know, the human experience, the complexity of it all. People make tough choices sometimes, yeah.
So what does that support actually look like? What do they do to actually help women who might be going through a tough time after an abortion?
The church really highlights the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. They see it as a way to find spiritual healing and forgiveness. They also have counseling and support groups, sometimes organized through dioceses or other groups.
So it's not just about saying you messed up. It's about offering real support.
Exactly. It's about trying to provide both psychological and spiritual help.
That's, I don't know, that's more compassionate than I think a lot of people might expect.
Yeah. The church wants people to know that even after a difficult choice, there's still a place for them. There's still a path to healing.
It's interesting. It sounds like they're trying to balance a really firm moral stance with a kind of open-hearted approach to the people involved.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And it really goes back to that idea we talked about earlier, the inherent dignity of every person, no matter what choices they've made or what they've been through.
It makes you wonder, like, how they apply that same principle to other social issues. Like, it seems like it could be relevant to a lot of things.
Oh, definitely. But I think we should maybe stick with abortion for now.
Okay, good point. We've covered a lot of ground already. We talked about the church's belief that life begins at conception, their opposition to abortion even in difficult cases, and their emphasis on mercy and support for those affected by it.
Right.
But I think there's another big piece to their approach that we need to talk about, and that's their call to action. Like, they're not just saying, think this way, but do something.
That's true, especially when it comes to politics.
Okay, so this is where things might get even, well, more intense. So what do our sources tell us about how Catholics are supposed to engage in all the debates about abortion, like, in the political sphere?
Well, the church definitely encourages its members to be active, you know, to try to shape society, especially when it comes to issues that align with their values. They believe that citizens have a responsibility to advocate for laws that reflect their moral beliefs.
So it's not just about personal beliefs. It's about, like, translating those beliefs into action, into the public square.
Exactly. And they talk about something called conscientious objection, which means resisting laws that go against your conscience, even if those laws are, you know, secular laws.
So they're not just saying follow the rules. They're saying if you think a law is wrong, you have a duty to try to change it.
Yeah, pretty much. And that can take a lot of forms. You know, supporting pro-life organizations, getting involved in politics, advocating for legal changes, even choosing jobs that let you live out these values.
Wow, that's a pretty big call to action. It's more than just voting or donating to a cause. They're talking about making these beliefs a part of your whole life.
Yeah, and the church is very clear about this responsibility, especially for people who are in positions of influence. Our sources mention specific guidance for Catholic politicians, urging them to, like, make the protection of life a top priority in their work.
So they're saying it's not enough to just believe these things privately. You have to live them out publicly.
Exactly. It's about trying to, I guess, build a society that reflects your values, not just accepting the status quo.
This is a lot to think about. It seems like the church sees its role as not just guiding individuals, but also trying to shape society as a whole.
Absolutely. And that's where things can get really interesting, because that raises all sorts of questions about, you know, how they navigate a pluralistic society where not everyone agrees with them. How do they advocate for what they believe in while also respecting other people's rights?
Man, that's a great question. It's like a whole other level of complexity. And that's something we'll definitely need to explore further. Stay tuned, because next time, we're going to be tackling those very questions, looking at how the church tries to balance their strong stance on abortion with their commitment to dialogue and understanding in a world where people have a lot of different viewpoints.
Yeah, it's a tricky balance for sure.
Welcome back, everyone. So last time we were talking about how the church, you know, encourages Catholics to get involved in the public square, like really advocate for laws and policies that line up with their values, right?
Yeah, and I think it's important to, like, emphasize that they don't see this as trying to force their beliefs on anyone.
Right.
They really believe that their position on abortion is based on, on principles that everyone can understand.
Okay, but isn't that kind of a contradiction? Like, how can they say they respect other viewpoints and also push for policies based on their specific, you know, beliefs?
I can see why that seems tricky, and it really gets at how the church tries to, like, navigate this idea of living in a pluralistic society, right? They'd say that being against abortion isn't just about religious doctrine, but it's about their understanding of, of natural law.
Okay, yeah, natural law. We talked about that a bit last time, but can you maybe give us a little refresher? What exactly does that mean, and how does it, like, connect to abortion?
Sure. So natural law, in the church's view, it's kind of like this set of moral principles that are, well, they say they're, like, built into human nature itself, accessible to reason. Like, you don't need to be religious to get it. And they say this includes, like, the idea that every human being has inherent dignity, worth.
So they're saying that their stance on abortion isn't just about faith. It's about recognizing, like, basic truths about human life, and those should be reflected in our laws.
Exactly. They see protecting innocent human life as, Well, as a moral obligation, you know, something that goes beyond personal beliefs or what's popular at the moment. They'd say, just like we have laws against, I don't know, murder, theft, because those things violate basic human dignity, so too we should have laws protecting the unborn.
Okay, I get that. I mean, theoretically.
Yeah.
But how does that actually work in real life? You know, we live in a world where people have lots of different views on abortion. So how do they, I mean, how does the church approach those who just, you know, disagree?
Well, they really stress the importance of dialogue and engagement. Even with people who, you know, have opposing views, they get that just condemning people doesn't really lead to meaningful change. So they push for, like, respectful conversations, trying to find common ground, build those bridges of understanding.
That sounds, I mean, it sounds nice, but how do you have a productive conversation when, you know, when you're starting from such different places? Like, how do you even find common ground on an issue as, I don't know, as controversial as abortion?
It's definitely a challenge. The church isn't pretending to have all the answers, but they believe that even when there are disagreements, you can still find, I don't know, points of connection, like maybe focusing on shared concerns for women's well-being or a desire to create a society that's more just and compassionate.
Okay, so it's about finding those shared values and like using those as a starting point.
Yeah, and that often means like listening more than you talk, really trying to get where other people are coming from, you know? What are the experiences that shape how they see abortion?
This reminds me of something we talked about before, like how the church tries to balance their strong moral stance with a, well, a more compassionate approach to people who have had abortions.
Yeah, good point. It's about recognizing that even while they hold firm to their beliefs, They also recognize that people make difficult choices, sometimes under really tough pressure.
But even with this whole emphasis on dialogue and understanding, I mean, let's be real. The church's position on abortion gets a lot of pushback, especially nowadays. Some people say it's outdated, out of touch. Like, how do they respond to that?
That's a common criticism. And the church, I mean, they take it seriously. They say that their position isn't about just like clinging to tradition for its own sake, but it's about upholding these principles about human life, about the dignity of every person,
yeah.
You know, principles they see as timeless.
So they're saying their principles are relevant today, just as much as they were centuries ago, even if the world has changed. Yeah.
Exactly. And they'd even say that the more we learn from science, especially in areas like, I don't know, embryology or genetics, the stronger their case becomes. These advancements, they argue, show us how complex and unique human life is right from the start.
Interesting. So they're not afraid of science. They see us supporting their view.
Yeah, I think they see science and reason as, like, allies in their efforts to protect life. They believe that the more we understand these things, the more we see this this ethical duty to treat all human beings with respect, including the unborn.
That's a pretty strong argument. But what about the people who say they're just, you know, forcing their religious views on everyone else? How does that fit into all this?
That's another big criticism, for sure. And the church, I mean, they address it directly. They say that their opposition to abortion isn't just a religious rule. It's grounded in these principles that anyone can understand, regardless of their faith.
So they're trying to reach a wider audience, not just people inside the church.
Exactly. They believe that protecting innocent human life is like a basic moral truth, not just a religious one. And they say that should guide our laws and how we live as a society.
But even if they're appealing to, you know, to reason and not just faith, some people might still feel like they're trying to, I don't know, legislate morality, force their values on a society that's so diverse.
That's a real concern. And it gets at this tension between, well, between individual freedom and the common good. The church would argue that getting involved in these public debates isn't about forcing their beliefs on others. It's about speaking up for principles they think are important for everyone to flourish, you know, regardless of their religion.
So, like, promoting their vision of what a good society looks like.
Yeah, you could put it that way. They believe that religious groups, well, they have a role to play in these conversations about morality, and they should advocate for policies that that align with their values.
Okay, but where's the line? Like, at what point does speaking up for your beliefs turn into, I don't know, infringing on other people's rights?
That's a tough question. And honestly, it's something that's debated even within the church. But generally, they would say that their involvement in public life should be about persuasion, education, dialogue, not about force or coercion.
So, like, they can participate in the process, make their arguments, but then they have to respect the outcome, even if they don't get what they want.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. They believe in civil discourse, you know, finding ways to live together peacefully even when we disagree.
That brings up another interesting point. If they're really committed to persuasion and dialogue, does that mean they're open to compromise on this, like on abortion?
That's something that people get confused about a lot. I mean, the church's ultimate goal is a society where abortion just doesn't happen. But they also recognize that, that might not be possible right away.
So are they willing to accept, I don't know, incremental changes, even if they don't get everything they want?
Yeah, they encourage their members to work towards any measures that, you know, that limit abortion or reduce its impact. Even a small step in the right direction, you know, they see that as a win.
So it's not all or nothing. They're willing to work within the system to make progress, even if it's imperfect.
Exactly. They believe that changing hearts and minds takes time. It requires, you know, patience, persistence, and that willingness to engage with people who see things differently.
Wow, this is really giving me a much more, I don't know, nuanced understanding of how they approach this whole issue. It's not just about dogma or condemnation. It's about, like, engaging with the real world, finding common ground, and working towards a better future, even if it's one step at a time.
Yeah, I think you summarized it well. Their stance on abortion, it's complex, it's multifaceted, it's rooted in these deep beliefs, but it's also shaped by this practical understanding of, well, of how to create change in a world that's always changing.
This has been incredibly eye-opening, I guess you could say, but I have to admit, with all this talk about politics and social change, it's easy to lose sight of the personal stories, the people behind the headlines.
I agree.
So next time, I think we should shift gears a bit and really focus on those human experiences, the stories of those who have been directly affected by abortion.
Sounds good to me.
Get ready for a powerful conversation, folks. Welcome back, everyone.
So we've been, you know, really deep diving into the church's stance on abortion, all the ins and outs, the beliefs, the political side of things. But for this last part, I think it's important to, like, zoom in a bit, focus on the human side of this.
Yeah, I think that's crucial. It's easy to get caught up in all the, you know, the arguments, the big picture stuff. But we can't forget that behind all of that, there are real people making really tough choices, dealing with, well, with the consequences of those choices, you know, emotionally, spiritually.
Right, exactly. And I think those personal stories, they can help us, I don't know, really grasp the complexity of this whole issue. So let's hear some of those stories. Our sources, they mention a lot of different experiences from women who've had abortions and women who, you know, chose to have their babies. One story that that really stuck with me was about this woman, Sophia. She had an abortion when she was, I think, in her late teens. And she talked about how it was like a decision born out of fear. You know, she didn't feel like she had any support.
Yeah.
And she felt completely alone, unprepared to be a mother.
It's hard to imagine that kind of pressure, that isolation at such a young age.
Yeah.
What happened, like, after she made that decision?
Well, Sophia, she really struggled for years with, like, guilt, shame, regret. She felt like she had made a terrible mistake, and it weighed on her.
It seems like the emotional and, you know, the psychological impact, it could be just as big as the physical part of abortion, maybe even more so.
Absolutely. And that's something we don't always talk about enough. You know, we focus on the laws, the politics, but we forget about those deep wounds, you know, the ones you can't see that abortion can cause.
So how did how did she find healing? Did she ever, you know, come to terms with what happened?
It was a long process, but she eventually found comfort in her faith and in the forgiveness offered by the church. She realized that, you know, even though she regretted her decision, she was still worthy of love, worthy of redemption.
That's a really, I don't know, a really powerful message. Like, even when we make tough choices, even when there are painful consequences, there's still a way back. There's still hope for healing.
Exactly. And Sophia's story, it's just one example, you know. Some people find healing through therapy or support groups, maybe even through art or music. The important thing is that they find a way to work through those emotions, to find some kind of resolution.
So even though the church is, you know, very clearly against abortion, they recognize that people make mistakes and they believe in, well, in second chances, I guess you could say.
Definitely. Their approach is about, well, it's about both upholding the sanctity of life and offering compassion and support to those who are hurting. They believe that everyone deserves a chance to, you know, to find peace and reconciliation no matter what.
That's good to hear. But what about the women who, you know, who choose to have their babies, even when it's really hard? What are their stories like?
Oh, man. There are so many stories of women who faced, you know, incredible challenges, maybe financial struggles, health problems, lack of support, all of that. But they still chose to give birth, to embrace motherhood. And their stories are often full of, like, this incredible resilience, strength, and love for their children.
Yeah, I bet. Do any particular stories stand out from our sources?
One that comes to mind is about a woman named Isabella. She was a single mom, already struggling, and then, well, she found out she was pregnant again. And she was terrified.
Yeah, I can imagine. That must have felt like, I don't know, like the weight of the world on her shoulders. But she decided to have the baby.
She did. Isabella, she leaned on her faith, and she found a lot of support from her church community. They helped her out practically, you know, emotionally, and just gave her that sense of belonging, which I think was so important during that time.
It seems like the church, their role, it goes beyond just like preaching against abortion. They're actually trying to build a safety net, I guess you could say, for women facing unplanned pregnancies.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They see that, you know, actions speak louder than words. And they're trying to create a culture where women feel like, well, like they can choose life and they'll have support. They won't be alone.
So it's not just about saying don't have an abortion. It's about making it possible for women to actually raise their kids, to give them what they need.
Exactly. They believe that building a culture of life, it takes more than just, you know, saying what's wrong. It takes compassion. It takes tangible support. And it takes this commitment to building a society that truly values both mothers and children.
Man, this really highlights how connected all of these issues are. You know, supporting families, fighting for social justice, making sure everyone has access to health care. It's all part of creating a world where, well, where every human life is valued, where everyone has a chance to thrive.
You got it. The church sees all of these things as interconnected. And they believe that that a holistic approach is essential to, you know, to really building that pro-life society they're talking about.
This whole deep dive has given me so much to, I don't know, to think about, to reflect on. It's challenged some of my assumptions, and it's definitely made me appreciate the complexity of all of this. And honestly, I'm leaving with a sense of, well, sense of hope.
Me too. It's a good reminder that even when we're dealing with these really tough issues where people have strong feelings, there's still room for compassion, for understanding, and there's always that potential to, you know, to work together towards something better.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And to all of our listeners out there, keep exploring these questions, keep learning, keep those deep dives going.
Absolutely. Keep those conversations going.
And until next time, take care.